Today we celebrate the memorial of the dedications of the churches of Saints Peter and Paul in Rome. And in the sacred liturgy, we are presented with three kingdoms that set themselves up against the worship of the true God. The first was that of Antiochus in the book of Maccabees, which occupied Israel and forced the Israelites to abandon the worship of the true God. And even in the most cataclysmic way for the Jews, set up what scripture calls the abomination of desolation on the altar of sacrifice in the temple, which was probably an idol of Zeus, before which the Jews were forced to worship, which is, you know, like the worst nightmare for a devout Jew. And in fact, the temple was defiled and would later have to be purified, the altar even being removed and a new altar being built and the whole temple being rededicated. The second kingdom that set itself up against the worship of the true God in today's liturgy is that of Jericho. The blind man was sitting by the roadside begging when Jesus walked by, and he was near the town of Jericho. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, Jericho was the city, the first city that the Jews, when they came to take possession of the Promised Land, had to conquer. And it was sort of the gateway into the Promised Land. And God, through his wonderful power, delivered Jericho over to the Israelites when they obeyed his commandment, when they worshiped him truly with the Ark of the Covenant in their presence, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. The third kingdom that set itself up against the worship of the true God in today's liturgy is that of Rome, which was the mammoth and universal power in the old world, which was very early on set against the worship of Christ and became the great persecutor of the early Christians. But because of the perseverance of those who believed, because God sent the apostles to Rome to set up the center of the church right in the middle of the beast, right in the middle of the beast, and because they persisted, because St. Peter would not leave Rome, even though he was tempted to do so. There's that story about Peter leaving Rome because he had gotten tired of the whole affair and he didn't really want to die a martyr. And he was walking out of the city on the Appian Way, and someone came walking down towards him. And he, as the person got closer, he realized it was our Lord. And our Lord walked right past him towards Rome, and Peter stopped and turned around and he said, "Lord, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going back to Rome to die again, you know, in your place." And so Peter, you know, turned around and went back to Rome. But he persevered to the end, as well as St. Paul. St. Paul came to Rome to be tried by the Romans and ended up preaching the gospel in Rome while he was imprisoned. And of course, offered his life and complete sacrifice to the Lord. And as we know, everything was turned on its head. Rome became the instrument by which the faith was spread. The Empire of Rome became the conduit through which the faith traveled to the four corners of the world. So everything was changed because of God's divine providence. In the ancient Jewish times, in the book of Maccabees, it raised up martyrs. The persecution of Antiochus gave us Judas Maccabeus and that whole movement by which the Jews were inspired to defend their faith and to offer themselves in martyrdom. And in today's gospel, near Jericho, this the city that represents the idolatry of the world, you know, the worship of the false god. There is a blind man sitting at the roadside who is truly blind, and our Lord heals him of his blindness, but this just reminds us of the blindness of sin, and particularly of that blindness that comes into our lives when we put things before God. You know, the formal sin of idolatry is the literal worship of a false god. But we all, in one way or another, when we sin, we choose to love something more than God, and it creates blindness, especially when we defend ourselves, especially when we rationalize our sins, when we choose to live in the darkness rather than the light. This blind man knew he was blind, and he wanted to be freed from his blindness, and he begged our Lord for it. He wouldn't stop making a scene because he wished our Lord to come to him. And you know, it's a beautiful phrase, "Lord, please let me see, that I may see. Just give me my sight. What do you want me to do for you?" our Lord asks. And the blind man says, "Let me see." So Jesus says, "Have your sight, your faith has saved you." And the blind man sees again. We should all pray like the blind man for the gift to see and to be honest about our sinfulness, about where we fail before the Lord, so that we can give to the Lord the sacrifice that he truly deserves, that we don't allow our hearts to become a kingdom set up against the worship of the true God, that we don't put a wall around our hearts and try to keep the light out. You know, there are many ways in which people can be ignorant, and it is the responsibilities of those who profess to live in the light, to be instruments of the light. Some people are truly ignorant. They don't know because they've never heard. And they've never been told. How many people say, you know, when I was in college, none of the priests told me that contraception was a sin or that fornication was a sin. I think most people have, you know, the intuitions of natural law to suspect these things, but you know, sometimes they don't hear the gospel preached. On the other hand, sometimes we don't know because we don't want to know. And that is crass ignorance for which we are responsible. That's willful blindness. And that is something that envelops us in darkness unless we ask that the darkness be removed. And so, you know, in small ways also we can do this. We can choose to live in the darkness by not wanting to give up our bad habits. So we ask always for the light, for the grace to make our hearts a place where Jesus can come and reside, where he can give us the grace of experiencing the kingdom of God, which is in us. It's just a very simple thing that we need to do. Our Lord is asking us what we want. What do you really want? And we should all say to him, "Lord, please let me see."